Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
And I'm Matthew Grovins.
Infinite Card Games.
There's not much going on in the world of Magic this week. No. But you wanted to start us off with page one.
Yeah. So, I've been watching a lot of VIP Double Masters openings, been listening to a lot of advice from the top guys. And now it seems that VIP Double Masters is out of print, which means that no more sheets are coming out, and it's just being sold from what the distributors currently have. And that means that the prices, how they are now, they're going to be continuing to climb. Like the wholesale prices of the VIP boxes now are about $98 instead of the $95 they were last week. And this just shows you how fast the prices are climbing. But the good news is, for the normal Double Masters, that those box prices are starting to stabilize. And so that's good for anybody who doesn't want to put their wallet out on one pack for $100 for Double Masters and wants to get a real big box for the normal Double Masters.
Yeah. Alex, you get yourself any of those Double Masters?
Well, of course I did.
what were some of the stuff you got?
Let's see. We pulled Sword of Light and Shadow. We pulled a Mox Opal. Nice. I had a Chrome Mox the other night.
Let me see. Awesome.
No Force of Wills, sadly.
Yeah, those seem to be really hard to get. Although I saw a video where somebody's very first video of it, they got two Force of Wills in one case. So that was fun.
I did get a Jason Cyclonic Rift the other day.
Oh, nice.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Last night I opened a couple boxes. I got both Cyclonic Rift Exploration and the Chromox. So that was pretty nice.
Yeah, there's all the rage about that Amaket coming to Magic the Gathering Arena. They're labeling this Amaket Remastered.
Yeah. There's also some cards that they put in from outside of the Amaket block, like Collected Company, Hornet Queen, Wrath of God, and Rest in Peace. Those were all previewed and put in this set. So how do you think this is affecting, Magic in terms of having those different cards from outside that block?
Well, I don't know how it affects Magic at all. I mean, are you talking about Magic, the paper version, or the Magic the Gathering Arena? Because
on Arena, specifically.
I think it's only for Arena, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it shakes things up and helps people get access to cards they didn't get access to before. For people like me that are just now getting into Arena, and I didn't play with Amaket cards on Arena, it's a way for me to get cards in my historic segment,
Exactly.
Or in my section.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. And some people are saying that having the one specific card, the one card Hornet Queen, is shaking up the color pie. And for the viewers, for the listeners who do not know what Hornet Queen is, it's a four colorless, three green, flying death touch insect that's a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, it creates 4/1/1 green insect creature tokens with flying and death touch. And so what do you think these people mean about shaking up the color pie?
I don't know. Alex, do you know?
Shaking up the color pie? I don't get what they're talking about.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I know that, in the color pie, in my opinion, is because I'm an old school player.
Yeah.
Play standard. I do play standard and whatnot. But so there was blue was return and bounce, then draw. Red was direct damage. Black was do anything to win the game, even if it meant. White, I don't know. The white was the pure guys and the good,
Life gain.
Yeah, life gain.
Exactly.
Green had a little bit of that with ramp and stuff like that in nature. I don't know.
Green was ramp up and just swing with big creatures.
Right. Yeah. And what are we talking about, Matt? I mean, I don't get it because I know there's a lot of buzz going around on social media.
Yeah. I guess you could say per se buzz with the new insects, right? And what they're saying is, a green card with flying isn't really something that, happens that often, especially in standard, right? And so now we have the Hornet Queen. Well, I guess it's not really standard. It's the historic now. But something for Arena that's a green creature with flying is seeming to shake up the meta a little bit. I'm seeing Hornet Queen play quite often, actually, as a way of getting around that flying, having to use other colors, right?
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you play much Magic the Gathering Arena, Alex?
Mostly Standard.
Mostly Standard? Okay, yeah. Same here. I mostly play Standard. I do the drafts. I like doing the drafts.
Yeah, the huge thing I've been seeing Hornet Queen in is Brawl, but that's also because Brawl is what I play the most, and Hornet Queen is definitely, since, you know, it's such a high mana cost, it's something that's a lot easier played in Brawl.
Sadly, I can't play my deck anymore.
You got some banned cards and restricted cards.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of Magic the Gathering Arena, I wanted to mention, too, Amaket Remastered came out a few days ago on August 13th. There's a total of 338 cards in the set. Rotation's about to hit in September. You've got, what, 3-4 weeks left? And then the last on that one is Jumpstart is leaving tomorrow on the 16th.
Yeah.
So if you guys didn't get your Jumpstart fix in.
Yeah. I mean, I played Jumpstart a couple times. It just wasn't really, you know, the groove I wanted to get into. I like sticking with Standard and Brawl.
Yeah, I tried it one time. Yeah. I got two red decks. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you're going aggro. How did you do with that?
Not too good. I put it on the YouTube. It's the last YouTube video I put up. It's not too good.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
So, yeah. The one Jumpstart thing that I played, mine was Milling Above the Clouds.
Oh, so the first deck was Milling and the second one was Above the Clouds?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet, man. I like it, dude. I'm a blue player.
Good combination.
Yeah, I like that. Mine was really crazy. If you go check out the YouTube over on Cryptic Commander Podcast on YouTube, you'll see that it's a weird pick I did. It was like lightning and then blazing. Lightning strength. I can't remember what the red names were, but it wasn't right. It wasn't right.
Like lightning spell casting?
I think so. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But it didn't flow together well at all. I played horrible decisions. You can catch it on the YouTube, but speaking of which, we have card of the week.
Yeah, we got card of the week. So we got a pretty exciting one. We got Westvale Abbey. Alex, do you remember Westvale Abbey from Shadows of Innistrad?
I do remember Westvale Abbey. I have a good story about that.
Yeah, do you remember how much you hated it?
No, I loved it. What are you talking about?
Okay, what's your good story? You got me curious.
Yeah.
All right. So this was back when we played with Westvale Abbey. Like, blue-white flash was a big thing in Standard.
Oh, yeah.
And there was also white weenies, which was a big thing in Standard. And me and some friends, we went into a 1K tournament. So a $1,000 tournament. And we all were like, we're all going to jump in. We're going to play. And then whichever one of us top, we split the cash, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we had, like, I think there was, like, six of us, and about three of us top-8ed.
Oh, wow.
So if you top-8 and chopped, everybody got $125, which is basically what happened. But the whole Westvale Abbey, one of the decks that we made for one of our friends to use was White Weenies. And he played Westvale Abbey because you literally just dump your hand with small dudes.
Yeah.
And then you just sacrifice them and swing with a big Westvale Abbey.
Yeah, I think, Matt, you got the card pulled up in front of you, yeah, Matt, right?
I have the card right here. So for the people who don't remember or don't know what Westvale Abbey is or does, it starts off as a land where you can tap it to add a colorless to your mana pool. The ability after that is 5 colorless, tap, pay 1 life, and you put a 1/1 white and black human cleric creature token onto the battlefield. And then after that, once again, is pay 5 colorless, tap it, you sacrifice 5 creatures, transform Westvale Abbey, and then you untap it. And now this is where it gets exciting, is what it transforms into. Is Ormondal Profane Prince. And I have no idea if I'm saying that correctly, because it's a very long name. But it's a legendary creature, demon, has flying, lifelink, indestructible, and haste. And it's a 9/7. And I love the flavor text on it. That's why John was pushing me to use this one as our card of the week. It says, with Gristle Brand gone, Discouraged Dog eagerly awaited another demon to claim their devotion. Armandal did not make them wait long. And it's overall just a fantastic card, you know, especially since it's a 9/7.
Yeah, I agree. It starts out as a land, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when they came out with it was a couple sets later where they did the card. It started as something and flipped over to a Black Lotus, essentially. Am I thinking that right?
Yeah. Which was...
It was a couple sets later. I can't remember what
card it was. It was in Ixalan. It was one of those adventure lands or whatever they were called, right, Alex?
Yeah, not Black Lotus. It flips into a, Growing Rites?
Yeah, Growing Rites of Idlemach.
Yeah,
it flips into a Gaia's Cradle.
Yeah,
Gaia's Cradle. Yeah, Gaia's Cradle. Yeah, that's right. Even though
Which is now $850.
Yeah, Gaia's Cradle.
I know. I heard this morning it was 900, but yeah, that is insane. I know somebody that has one. I wish I had one for my cube. I don't have one.
I used to have one.
Yeah, I sold it for $300 back in the day, and really regretting it now.
Which is a good segment. Leanway into our segment, which is about fake cards, and Rudy over at Alpha Investments does a good job. He just, you know, shows, hey, you got hosed, or, you know, this is legit. So, Matt, I think you've got some pointers for the listeners.
Yeah, and, you know, we're just doing this over the podcast and people are listening, there's not a whole lot I'm going to go deep into, and there's going to be some stuff where like, hey, Matt, there's stuff you didn't say. And, yeah, I'm just going to go over a few basic things, mostly for the newer players and for the newer cards. And going into that, when you're trying to compare, when you have a card that you think is fake and it's one of those newer cards, you're going to want to use the back of the cards first off, because the front of the cards are going to vary based on, you know, what the card is, the color of the card, etc. And so cards that are often fake will either be lighter or darker than the real cards. And it's pretty noticeable when you're in good lighting and you're close to it and you're just looking back to back with a real card. Normally, the fake card will be lighter, but in rare circumstances, the card will be darker. And fake cards also tend to, you know, have the smoother and glossier surface, while real card has like that matte sort of finish to it, where it's a little bit rough. And another huge thing that, you know, Rudy was talking about over in Alpha Investments is talking about the holo stamps and how easy it is.
They're getting better.
Yeah. Yeah, how easy it was before to tell with the fake holo stamps, where you could just peel it off or scratch it off. But that was because real holo stamps are literally ingrained into the card. And with the fake holo stamps, it was on top of them. So you could tell. But now, you know, the people that are creating these fake cards are getting a lot smarter with this. So make sure you're very careful with those holo stamps. And just the main thing is scratching it a tiny bit without, you know, damaging it, obviously, and seeing if it scratches off easily.
I walked into my local game store the other day, which is a proud sponsor of this podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
And I noticed they had Pokemon fake cards, and I was blown away that they were fake. And if you're really, really close and you knew what the feel was, you know, there was a bubble in it too, but it looks so real. It really did.
Yeah.
And Alex, have you come across any fake Magic the Gathering cards?
Oh, well, yes, of course.
Are they getting better, in your opinion, to fake these? Or?
So when it comes to fake cards, I'm usually really good about telling on fake cards because I do a lot of buying and selling. Mm-hmm. So other things. So, yes, the coloring makes sense. But you have to keep in mind, too, back in the day. So if we're talking about older cards, you have your revised, and don't forget about this one thing called Summer Magic for all of the people listening that know about the older cards. Yeah. Summer Magic was a darker version of revised.
Yep.
So if you have those, it wouldn't necessarily be fake. So what you need to do is, if you can get like a loop or even your cell phone, if you have a nicer cell phone, if you zoom in, you should be able to see the rosettes. If the rosettes are correct, then that's a real card. If it's not, then it's a fake card.
Yeah, so for our newer listeners, can you explain what a rosette is?
Yeah, so let me look it up. Give me one second.
Yeah. No rosettes. Problem.
Yeah, I was blown away when I saw somebody. Yeah, when somebody pulled out a jeweler's loop at the game store, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, Rosetta's. I went home and I Googled it real quick. I'm like, oh, what? So then I pulled out
the jeweler's loop. If you literally just Google MTG how to tell fake cards, it'll pull it up.
Yeah.
It'll pull up the whole Rosettes thing. It'll put two cards side by side, and it'll show you what the Rosettes are supposed to look like and what they're not supposed to look like.
Wow.
Also, you can usually tell by the text as well of the older cards, especially Power 9.
Yeah.
The darker text of the, like, Time Twister, for example, because I've actually dealt with a Time Twister before. The darker text is usually the real one. The lighter text are usually the faker ones.
I do remember there was a certain set. I don't remember what year it was. I think it was the fourth year they were printing cards. That there was a different feel. There was a different feel and texture of the back of the card. And when I went to a store, you know, I think it was Ogres or something, I said, hey, what's going on with this? And they're like, oh, so during that year, they switched printing companies. But it's a legit set, you know. You'll find those cards here and there.
Yep. Yeah. And yes. Like Alex said, with the older cards, it does tend to be the darker. It tends to usually be the faker cards, you know, the fake card is fake, the actually fake cards.
When in doubt, take it to your local game store.
Exactly.
Yep. When in doubt, take it to your local game store. I mean, the other couple ways that you can do it, you have your bend test, which is if you don't want to do it with anything expensive, but if you bend the card and have it touch from the top and bottom of the card, it should be able to go back as if there is no crease.
Yep.
If it's fake, then it will crease. The other options, you have your light. See if your camera flashlight to shine it through the card. If it shines through, it's real. If it doesn't, it's fake.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're getting more sophisticated with this fake card stuff. I mean, I understand then, proxies, you know.
Yeah, then if you really want to, you can do the rip test.
I've done that a few times.
I have ripped some tropical islands before, and I have ripped their monolith before.
Oh man! If any of those are for sale, and they're beat up like that for a cube, let somebody know. No, I'm just kidding.
So for all you listeners out there that have been listening to me talk about fake cards, of course, I also have my own YouTube channel, my Infinite Card Games on YouTube. I have a Twitch, Infinite Card Games 1. So if you look me up on both of those, you'll be able to find me. Do a lot of like giveaways. I do a lot of stuff for the community, do a lot of sponsorings. We also have our own T-shirts. So on Stream Elements, we have our T-shirts, mugs. Pretty much everything, anything you can think of that's merch, we have it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much me as far as like social media wise goes. I also have my own Facebook page too. So if you guys want to join that, you can.
Yeah, that's awesome. So. Yeah, I believe I'm on your social media page as well. Isn't there a group?
Yeah, there's a Facebook group, just Infinite Guard Games on Facebook.
Yeah, and I actually have a pretty special connection to Alex as well. I helped design his new logo that he uses.
That he did.
Yeah. I like it, just saying.
we do have a new video coming up. Actually, it should be tomorrow. Between me, it's a battle between me and Jester, and it's kind of more of on the creative side because we jump through timelines to do this battle.
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot of time hack going on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just like our YouTube, me and Matt's YouTube, the Crypto Commander podcast, we haven't had a lot of action in a while. I can't wait to see that video on yours. I really can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah. It should be tomorrow night, and then you can let me know what you think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think our listeners might even leave a comment.
Hopefully.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Get out there and comment.
So tiny decks are still the rage. I thought we were done talking about tiny decks. Apparently they're popping back up here and there.
Yeah, I guarantee you they're going to make more of them and be able to sell more of them. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be buying any, but it seems like a fun thing to have is mini cards. Seems like a great thing to do with your kids. I think they're funny.
Yeah, maybe to have one laying on a shelf somewhere, unopened. You know, it's just the only one I see is Jace versus Veraska. That's the only one I'm seeing. Yeah, there could be more out there. I don't know. If you look behind the mini hula hoops, I don't know. I don't know. They're really, really small decks.
They're really very small. You know, yeah. What do you think, Alex? Have you like
tiny decks?
Yeah, gotten into it at all?
I haven't gotten into it. I've only looked into like. I think I've seen them on like Twitter, like a couple times, and that's about it. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, how do you play? It's so hard to read.
Well, if you got tiny fingers like me, you know. No, I'm kidding. I've got these burly digits. You know,
I mean, when I that's like taking a Magic card, making it smaller than a Yu-Gi-Oh card, and fitting all the Yu-Gi-Oh text on the Magic card.
Put a giant loop over the entire, you know, playmat.
You ever took those old school Dorito bags and Cheeto bags, put them in the oven, and they shrink down?
Yeah.
You make keychains out of them? That's what it reminds me of.
Well, I feel young. Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It makes me want to get one of these Jace cards laminated and make a keychain out of it, you know, or something. They look cute. They look cute. It's okay for a guy to say cute. Moving on to bans and restricted. We talked about ban and restricted announcements when they came out on the 13th of last month. But it really has changed the meta for Standard.
Wait, last month? Don't you mean this month?
Yeah. So last month was the ban and restriction announcement. Did they do one this month?
They did another one. Reclamation is banned.
Wait,
no, that's the one we're talking about. Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
We already covered. That was this month.
Was that last month? I thought that was this month.
That was this month. Maybe.
Oh, that was this month? Oh, my goodness.
That was like 6 days ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. They come out with these bannings so frequently, I forget that, now. It's almost
that,
like the
that
new
was a, yeah, that was a couple days before our last podcast.
Okay, so yeah, that's right. It was a recent ban and restricted. But that's what I'm talking about. Wilderness Reclamation's out. The Teferi, the blue and white Teferi's out, which I'm personally glad to see that guy go.
You know, I'm not.
I take it you were using Dream Trawlers and.
No. That wasn't the deck that I was using the most of. I was using the, what's it called? The Reclamation with Shark Typhoons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were one of those guys? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys. One of those guys that expansion explosions you for 39 at the end of my turn.
Yeah. I usually lose to those kind of decks. But going back on topic, though, I love how it really is balancing Standard. And I know that somebody reached out on social media, I think it was a week ago, saying, all right, now tell me what the problem is now, because there shouldn't be a problem now that Standard's fixed.
Well, I mean, so if you look at, like, the Standard meta now, like, you're finding, like, Teamer ramp, I think, is a big thing, all the rage.
The last time I looked, Simic was, like, number one. And then before I looked, Rakdos, but then – they were changing Rakdos Splash White. What's that called when they do? Is it Rakdos White, Black, and Red? Is that what it is?
No. So, looking at the meta right now, 21% of the decks are all Soul Tyrant. So,
wow. That's like, blue, white, green?
Blue, white, black. Okay. No. Blue, green, black. Blue, green, black.
Yeah. Blue, green, black. Okay. I can see it.
So, you're running like the Hydroid Krasis. You're running. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Hydroid Krasis was like, what, $25, $50 when you pulled one?
It definitely used to be pretty high up there.
What's it sitting at right now?
This podcast? Hydroid Krasis, let me look.
Yeah.
I think it's like 15.
Wow, that went down.
I mean, four of them is $68.
Yeah, Hydroid Krasis right now is about $14.
Wow, it's steadily going down.
So this deck right here, here's a sample deck of Soul Tyrant. You're looking at 4 Hydroid Krasis, 4 Uros, 2 Teferi, Master of Time, 2 Nissa, who shakes the world. You're running Aether Gust, the Agonizing Remorse, Eliminate, Heartless Act, Thought Erasure, Cultivate, Extinction Event, Casualties of War. Who knew Casualties of War would still open Standard, right?
Yeah.
Well, I see why it is. You know, and the Heartless Act too. The Heartless Act's almost a key staple card in that deck when you're playing with
Black
too. I was doing a deck style like that myself with Garuda, ramp into Garuda, if I'm saying it right, Garuda. So I did a deck like that. You know, I did do a deck like that. Wow.
So and if I, that's 21%. 21% of the meta is wow. Sultai. 11% of the meta is Team or Adventures. So a lot of adventure cards. And then you got your Mono Red, which is 7%.
Always.
Mardu, 6%. Mono Red Team or Elementals, 6%. Mono Green Stompies is 5%. And then you're going down to, like, you're really low, like Teamer Flash. Everything's 2% or under.
Wow. And to see Mono Green Stompy underneath Red Deck Wins, that's different for me. Because when I saw the cards come out for the green cards, I'm like, oh, wow. I think Green Stompy's coming back. And to see Red Deck Wins beat that, you know, what was his name? Seth Mansfield. He went to the last World's Champion with Red Deck Wins, right? And he did real good. It surprised a lot of people. We weren't anticipating a Red Deck Wins deck during the Worlds. But.
Well, I mean, like, the thing is, like, Red Deck Wins just goes so fast before Mono Green Stomp can do anything.
Yes, that's true. It's called Red Deck Wins.
I've lost on, like, turn three to Red Deck Wins.
Yeah. And that 1-2 where they draw two cards and discard two cards. Yeah. I love stuff like that, man. That Red Deck Wins.
They would go, like, turn one, Fervent Champion, or Scorch Spitter or something like that. Turn two, two of those, and they're swinging. And then they, like, drop down Embercleave and do Ember a lot Cleave. Of damage. And then if you don't cast anything or deal with them the next turn, you're dead.
Yeah, Embercleave. Like, I was waiting for you to say Embercleave because that's the final straw in the coffin, you know.
I don't like Embercleave. I'm sorry. It's
like, when annoying. I see Embercleave, I'm like, that thing, okay, I was like, all right, cool, I'll just block it. It has double strike. And then I'm like, wait, it has trample as well?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll be playing, I forget Questing Beast, even though it's a different subject. Questing Beast can do damage to the Planeswalker, and he's attacking you. So I forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to stay on top of that.
People do forget that because I clearly have played against somebody that played a Questing Beast against me, and I had a Planeswalker on field, and he attacked my walker instead of me.
Why? Yeah.
That happened to me a couple days ago. And I was laughing myself. Yeah, I'm like, really, guy? I'll take advantage of you not knowing, I guess, you know?
Exactly.
So we got some updates about our YouTube channel. We talked about it just a few seconds ago on this podcast. But Matt, go ahead and tell our listeners what we're doing with the YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I've been, you know, working on some magic over here. We're getting some sponsors in, you know, having them send in either their product for us to open. Our first person, her name is Sarah. We're going to have 4 VIP boxes to open. John's going to be opening those. Then we're going to have the video uploaded. I'm pretty excited to be able to upload 4 boxes on the channel as our, you know, reintroduction into the YouTube society, right? And if anyone listening here would like to be a sponsor for Double Masters VIP, we're doing the boxes at $100 and then $10 shipping overall for however many boxes you want to get. And how that's going to work, you can do. Yeah, that'd be awesome. We'd love to have you sponsor one of our videos. And yeah. If you'd like to sponsor a video, you can contact us at crypticcommanderpod@gmail.com. And the payment methods we have Venmo or PayPal. And if neither of those work for you, we can always work something out. We always want to work with you, the listener, and you who wants to support us the best that we possibly can. And
right. Yeah,
exactly.
Not to sound like a broken record because I've talked about it in the past, but, you know, we've got a Patreon. I think the link's in our Facebook group, the Cryptic Commander Facebook group. We've got a link to the Anchor podcast, which is another way to support the podcast. There's different levels, $1, $3, $5, $8, something like that. We do have 2 people that are sponsoring the podcast for $1. And we have the local game store that's sponsoring the podcast too. And we're proud about that. We'll be changing our image for the podcast. We did want to bring this up. We're going to have 3 images in our Facebook group on a poll where you guys can vote yourselves what you want our image to look like out of those 3 images. That's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have those new images. And then, you know, we're going to be able to have some merchandise come in as well after that. I'm going to be setting up a site for people to go to, you know, give us some ideas for what kind of merch you want. And like, like John and I were talking about earlier, we were talking about, you know, play mats and shirts and things like that. So just give us ideas on what you want there, because we're also going to be doing some pre-orders for Zendikar Rising if people are interested. Next Saturday, I'll be talking more about pricing. I'm trying to figure out this week for Zendikar Rising as well.
You do a lot of pack openings on your YouTube, right, Alex?
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something we haven't done on our YouTube yet, and we're looking forward to doing that. Is there any advice you can give to anybody that might want to do it themselves, like equipment or?
Equipment-wise, you definitely need a tripod and a decent camera if your phone is not good enough. If you have a good phone, like I would say maybe at least an S10 or above, Galaxy S10 or above, or an iPhone 10 or above, then you can just get tripod, use your phone. You should be able to do that as the top-down view. And for that, is just doing the video and editing.
I think that's some really good advice because, those phones that you're talking about, the S10 and the iPhone 10. I remember my dad telling me that you can do movies and music.
Oh, definitely can. For example, if you go to my channel, Infinite Card Games, pretty much every single one of my videos that are pack openings are shot on my iPhone 11 Pro.
Oh, nice.
And edited on my iPhone 11 Pro.
I have to give you props on that one, man. I know how much of a short editing can be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, it is doable. It is not hard. It's not even that much time consuming. Like, I've edited videos about heading to bed, and I'll just do it on my phone real quick, and then I'll go to sleep and upload the video.
Has anybody ever asked you on your YouTube, or have you ever mentioned on your YouTube what year you got started in Magic, or what year you seriously got
into? Yes. So I'll tell you my story of how I got into Magic. All right. So year was probably around 2012, I would say. Back during like Innistrad, Avacyn Restored time, that's when I started.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically how I got into Magic. All right, I was in high school. I was taking like dual enrollment classes at a college. And my ethics professor said, "You're graded on four things in this class. Number one," this is back when I played Yu-Gi-Oh, okay? I wasn't really into the Magic scene. I barely played Yu-Gi-Oh, but it was a card game that I liked when I was a kid because my parents didn't let me play Magic, even though they should have, because that's when all the old cards were.
Yeah.
All the old expensive cards, but no worries. We were graded on four things. We had to take notes in class. We had to do like chapter summaries. And then if you wanted an A, you had to write like a 5-page paper. And then the last thing was like, you had to do a creative project, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, so 25% of your grade is your creative project. But if you don't want to do the creative project, you can come to my Magic tournament. And I was like, what's a Magic tournament? Me in high school, like, what is Magic? Is that a card game? And he's like, yeah, it's a card game. I'm like, I can learn a new card game. I've played Yu-Gi-Oh before. Let's play some card games for a free 25% of my grade.
Wow. So that's how you started, huh?
That is how I started the Magic. So I went to my local shop and I bought one of those like Innistrad event decks. Remember those like Spirit event decks back in the day? So it was the event deck of that time, and it had like the Fiend Hunter. It had the Spirit land that made spirits.
Nice.
It had all these different things. When I went to my professor, he taught us how to play, and I was like, so in Yu-Gi-Oh, foil cards meant, like, they're rare. They're, like, super cool, right? Mm-hmm. So my professor gave me, like, this foil Sarah Angel.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, it's a foil card. That's super cool. It must be super rare.
Right.
And nowadays I'm like, foil cards, I don't want that if it's a common.
Yeah. Well, Sarah Angel here, my sister might want it or something. Yeah. I get you.
Nowadays, I'm like, oh, you're getting new into Magic? Here's some draft bulk that I don't want.
Have a foil Sarah Angel. Oh, man.
So that's how I got into Magic. I got second place in the tournament and pulled like 5 packs of Innistrad.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. And I pulled out of Innistrad, I think I pulled a Vraska and like, I didn't pull Liliana. I pulled an Isolated Chapel, though. And then I sold the Vraska for 6 more packs.
I don't blame
was it Vraska? No, I think it was Return to Ravnica was where Vraska came from.
Probably when she first started popping up.
Yeah.
I have another question for you too, Alex. You mentioned earlier on the podcast that you do play Standard in Magic the Gathering Arena. But what is your favorite format overall?
Commander.
Okay. I'm just now getting into the Commander scene. And I have a lot of cards for this deck I'm building, which is a Hippo Hug deck, if you've heard of it.
Hippo Hug
deck? Oh, boy.
So I've got a lot of staples for it. As a matter of fact, I want to give a big shout-out to one of my friends, Joel Michaels.
Who's the commander?
So it's the Feldegriff.
Yep.
Oh, yep, I know that card.
Yeah. And so I've got a lot of staples, a lot of staples. And I've already got a box of Dragon Shields. And I'm raring to go for my first game of Commander. I'm going to let the listeners know a little bit later, maybe in a month from now. I'm going to add some more cards to it, bling it out a little bit more, and then start getting really serious with that deck. But, yeah, I'm glad that it's coming along, and I wanted to let the listeners know because I told them when I first started.
Sounds good.
If you
ever want to, we can do like a Zoom like video over the head Commander game.
Yeah, and we can put it on YouTube. We can put it on your YouTube, my YouTube, his YouTube, everybody's YouTube.
Exactly. All the YouTubes.
We'll get free rights. I got one more last question for you, Alex.
Go for it. My phone's almost dead.
What do you see for the future of Magic the Gathering?
Future of the Magic the Gathering, what are we talking, like 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road?
That's a deep
question. Yeah, let's say 10 years down the road.
So 10 years down the road, you're going to get like – actually, this was in one of the one of my Facebook groups. We're talking about it today, actually. Like, people were saying, what are the kids nowadays going to want 10 years down the road? Are they going to want, like, the Black Lotus or, the Rubies? No, that's not what they're going to want. They're going to want all, like, the VIP, like, super shiny, like, rare cards, like the Charizard of the Magic world, right? But, so like 10 years down the road, you're going to still have us collectors still looking at like the older style cards, and all the kids that are becoming in the 20s are looking at like that Force of Will. That's $500
right.
Or $600.
Yeah. I agree with that latter half of the statement.
Yeah, especially as the Magic scene gets younger and younger over the years.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they it's just like any other business. You want to get newer people in there, newer money. You don't want the regular money, you know, kind of a thing. You want to get fresher faces in there. Wizards of the Coast did the one thing with Amaket and other sets too. Bring a friend with you. We'll give you a point. A step up into this competition. You know, you get a free card at the end of the month if you do all these steps. One of them is bring a friend in that's never played. Go to a thing where you help new players learn how to play the game. You know, they're always wanting to incorporate new people. So that's just normal business tactic. You know?
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's show. Oh, yeah. And if anybody hasn't noticed yet, I did send Matt the audio receiver / mixer. So
yeah, my audio is getting better.
And his audio
will be here for the next episode.
Yeah, he's getting better with the audio. If you can't tell, he's a little clearer in this episode. And next week, he'll be even more clearer, hopefully. I mean, I sent you that audio receiver / mixer, 2 weeks ago? It was supposed to take 2 days to get to you.
And it arrived today.
It arrived today and before the podcast. But, yeah, so whenever he gets that new mic, look forward to him even sounding better than what he is right now, guys.
I'll sing for you.
But until next time, keep spell slinging.